Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast.
Do you want both of them or just
really liking it? A bunch of people are going back to the New Records Channel, which is so funny.
You love it.
Do you want the other one too, or just chapter six?
I think I'll just do
chapter six.
Okay. And keep it's it.
Well, today, December 31st, welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. What you just got to hear was an endearing moment between Phil and Diane sharing their favorite Bibles and Bible versions, which I do love. But today we have a special New Year's Eve episode as the New Year's upon us. Mm. And in just a few hours, it's going to be 2023.
Wow.
Do you guys feel that? Like that went by fast.
So weird. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It flew by. And so we wanted to do a special episode today. As these New Year's definitely for many people cause us to reflect back and to think about, man, this last year, how the highs, the lows, the good, the bad, the interesting, the blessings. At the same time, it causes us to also think of the future. But we also, as people who follow Jesus, I think the prayer of examine is a good one. And so what we wanted to do was basically to just take some time to share with you us four individually, Phil and Diane, Elizabeth and I, to share the fourth from our own perspectives, some of the stuff that we have been learning this year, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the stuff that was really amazing and the stuff that maybe wasn't so amazing. And it's okay to you. Everyone here at the table, you guys can have as good or as bad. You can share whatever you want. But we decided that we wanted to go through and, as a practice of our own, share with you some of the things that we've been learning, because I know this year has brought a lot for everybody even listening. And so we wanted to do that. And we didn't draw straws, but Elizabeth has been so gracious to be the first one to take us there and to bare her soul and to share all the things that she's learned this year and to share from her heart. So I'm excited to hear, because I haven't actually asked you what you're going to be sharing, and I don't think you know what I'm going to share either, right? Mm-mm. I haven't told you. I don't know what you guys are sharing, so this is all new for us. So Happy New Year, everybody. We're going to reflect back. So take us there,
well,
Elizabeth.
Why don't you start? Well, a little behind the scenes. This is how on it we are currently. You sent a text this morning while I was working out, like 6:30 or something, and said, I have this idea of an episode I want to do today. So I was like, oh, shoot, I got to think about like what are what
I can recognize that was not the best timing for everybody. But I also have so much faith in everybody.
For me, and I think for you too, Mom, who like to overthink and overplan, mm-hmm. it was actually good because it forced me to like, what's the first thing that came to mind versus like debating over what are the 10 things I've learned this year and what would be the most impactful to share. So I'm going against my normal self, like the first thing that came to mind. Was, well, two phrases, but the first was, a lot can happen in a year.
Interesting. And tell us more about that.
Yeah. Well, it's a good question.
Tell us more.
One of our favorite questions or things to say. Tell me more about
that. Tell me more.
But I have tended in the last like handful of years to get much more reflective around holidays and birthdays than I ever used to be. I think some forms of suffering just kind of like, I can now relate to the people that say like holidays bring up a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I can just tend to get reflective both over really good things and things that I'm grieving of, like ideals that are not ever going to come to fruition. So I feel like I was already kind of been in a reflective mode over Thanksgiving in a really beautiful way of recognizing, and we've shared parts of our son's story. We haven't shared it in the whole yet, but he has been walking through a really, really severe illness. And a year ago, it was like at its height. He was really sick. Mm-hmm. And our whole life had been turned upside down. And I was so stressed out about Christmas, literally talking to my therapist, how do I tell our family we're not going to Christmas, mm-hmm. even Comer Christmas, which is, we talked about it on
actually,
the podcast.
Actually, we had a whole episode about that.
Yeah. But I mean, I was literally this time last year crying in her office, like, what do? I can't even fathom packing up my family and going anywhere. We're a disaster, you know? And your dad was dying at the same time.
Very literally the same time.
Literally dying.
Yeah, same
and
time.
And to reflect back a whole year later and to see where our family is such a drastic comparison to where we were last year to where we are now. Not perfect. There's still really hard things. There's still lots of sickness, but Duke is doing like shockingly better and has emerged this just incredible boy.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite stage of parenting. He's 13. And it's so much fun. I love my relationship with him right now. It's so much fun. So I think the first thing was, you know, I think I'm a present moment person. So when something's hard in the present moment, all I can think about is how hard the present moment is. And then I project the present moment out into the future. Is it always going to be this hard?
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, what am I going to do if it's always this hard? But I can be very focused on the present moment. And I think some people are so focused on the past, they need to kind of get their mind out of how things used to be. But for me, looking back is really helpful and oftentimes brings up a lot of gratitude to recognize last year was so dark. And this year we've all grown so much. And again, things are not perfect and there's still a lot going on, but it's drastically different and I would say better than where we were a year ago.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
So the grief thing that you're saying, like grief and holidays.
Yeah.
It's interesting because that's this time. Like, sometimes some people even today will be listening and there's like maybe a moment in time, you know, something tragic happened. I know my dad died on December 29th. So even today it's like it's a really interesting day because it's the weekend of his passing. And so it is interesting to think about how grief comes. But one thing that, happened on my birthday, early December is my birthday is December 11th. Everyone mark your calendar, please send me a card.
Always 2 weeks before Christmas.
I'm just kidding. But no, that said, like we were out to brunch and I was feeling so sad and I couldn't figure out why. And we're like sitting there having this breakfast. Phil and Diane, you had all the kids for us. Thank you so much, by the way, again, you're watching all the kids and we're, you know, supposed to have this wonderful outing together. And it was wonderful in the sense that you and I were together, but I was like, I had to tell you, I was like, I can't really tell you all the things I'm feeling because I'm holding back tears and I don't know why. And it's just like this whole grief thing, these moments mark not only the good that's happened, but also can mark.
Bring up all the grief. And
yeah.
The hurt.
And what was, I guess all to say to your point that I didn't leave space for that to be a reality in my life. And I don't know if many people do, but I think it is a reality for more people than there are always aware, especially if you have these things to reflect back on. And I just remember sitting there thinking, this is not fun. And I'm not used to this. And it's taken a while to get used to it. You do far better at this than I do.
Now you're making me curious. I didn't know that you were on the verge of tears on that date.
Yeah.
I'd love to know, were you grieving the loss of your father or was it more struggles with
life,
kids and life? And then I'm going to interject that you did something I've never seen anybody do as a father, let alone as a person, let alone as a father. You know, we gave you a your Christmas gift.
Oh yes, thank you.
The day before birthday gift. I'm sorry, birthday gift on December 11th.
Yes.
Well, was a couple of days before your birthday, knowing you were going to go shopping. So yes, we gave you a $100 bill.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
And then you went out and decided for your birthday, you were going to buy your kids presents.
Yes,
and
I did.
Scarlett didn't know what to do with that. I thought, what a beautiful thing. So after your tears, you went out and blessed other people, which is actually a cure for depression.
Shopping therapy? No.
Giving.
Yeah.
You know, hey, it's like, I'm not going to, but it is true that, you know, I have such amazing childhood and such an amazing wife that I don't experience grief at Christmas. I just experience joy, but it is massive. So many people it's hard because all the movies, you know, Hallmark, whatever, there's always the perfect ending and the perfect story. And everybody goes, well, that's not my story. Yeah. I'm hurting, you know? So if the people are listening today, you're not alone, you know, but I'm curious why you were on the verge of tears.
Well, this is Elizabeth's reflection.
I know, but
it's
our family. Yeah. And so you're asking her about a reflection. Right. I'm asking you about
her reflection, about the reflection. Well, first of all, honey, I think your phone is on and it's making noises. So we always have this thing here at our podcast where if a phone is too close to what we record with, it just makes this really bad sound. So sorry if that happens, that's just part of it. But no, I don't actually fully know. That was what was so frustrating. I think it was that, I mean, what the last 4 years have cost, where I feel I want to be versus where I am, where I can feel like in my mind, but also in my body, the cost of what these last 4 years have taken. So I think it's like both sadness about certain things that aren't, but then it's also like, for me, it was like, wow, it's a reflecting on where I know that I'm not where I would hope to be at this point. And so some of that is idealism that needs to be killed because it's not helpful. And some of it, I think, is right.
Real honest grief.
Is real honest grief, but also really good to have those goals before the Father to be like, no, I do want to increase in righteousness. I do want to increase in growth. And I think there has been that, but it's been so messy. And you hear people all the time say, you know, I'll hear it all the time, you know, God's with you in your mess. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I get that, I guess. But it's really different when you have to live in your own mess, in your own depravity, when you get to see it all. And then you have to like be like, wait, does God still love me even with all of this? Because I know he loves those people for their stuff, but does he really love me for all my stuff? Mm-hmm. And I think I'm not alone with that processing. So I think it was a lot of those things. And I didn't connect the fact until you just said that generosity is a cure of that. Yeah. You know,
you made me
grief.
Think of something else too. I know we need to get back to Elizabeth,
but
you know what?
Because
it was what is happening more and more now is an understanding of lament.
Yep.
Which is a newer thing to me, but it reminds me of a saying, I'm not what I want to be.
Yeah.
And I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. In other words, I'm making progress and I'm lamenting that I'm not there yet. And I think that's that we all know that, you know, we still have our flesh and we're being made into the image of Jesus, but it's a process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just happen overnight. Hey, I'm just going to fast for one day and I'm going to be like the Lord, you know?
And I'll be
okay. But I see growth in you almost daily.
Yeah.
In every way, spiritual, emotional, physical, everything. But I see you growing. Yeah, you know, I think sometimes people see us in a way we can't see ourselves.
Oh,
so I see that process in you.
Thank you.
For the good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't always feel it, but I appreciate you saying that.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all around the world that give monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just to a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. And if you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
So you were saying a year can hold a lot. That was really sweet.
That detour was perfect, though, because the line that kept coming to my mind over and over again was the power of looking back. And I think that two things happen when we look back. We either look back, like I'm probably primarily looking back this year, of thanking God that we're not where we were last year. I can't say that without crying. But with looking back can evoke just deep gratitude at whether it's what he saved you from, what, you know, illnesses he's healed, circumstances that have changed, or his presence with you. Like looking back for me really does evoke deep gratitude, and it brings up a lot of grief. And exactly what you're saying, like you're reflecting on this year and where you are, and it's bringing up a lot of grief over everything that's happened, which are real things to grieve. And I think both are equally as important and powerful. And so I think I've just learning this, which what's becoming this like theme for me of holding both joy and sorrow, and not the joy doesn't negate the sorrow and the sorrow doesn't overpower the joy. It's both. And so I feel like I can look back on this year and with like deep sadness and grief, and also deep gratitude and like, oh my gosh, we're able to, we went ice skating as a family and nobody had, nothing went wrong. Like we were able to do that. That's amazing. We could not have done that a year ago. So, and then there's also a little part of me, actually there was a little meltdown at the end by one of the kids got stuck. And I, there's also like a part of me that is sad about that, that like outings as a family are not simple like maybe they are for some other families, you know? So I feel like I'm saying it kind of messy, but I think that for me, there's something that Barry said in the interview you did with them a couple weeks ago. One of his like takeaways, you asked him kind of like, what do you want people to know? And I think he'd said it twice in the interview. It was something like, this won't last forever. Like whatever it is you're experiencing right now, it won't last forever. And that alone can give us a little bit of hope, whether that's your circumstances are going to change or this is only one part of your life. We have a whole nother life on the other side of heaven, and our circumstances will for sure change then. And I think that has just been, I have contend towards feelings of despair and this is going to last forever. So that perspective of, nope, this is a feeling right now, or even the, what you're explaining on your birthday, the deep sadness and the deep grief. That's an important feeling. That's your emotions in your body telling you something, but it's not going to last forever. That sadness is not forever. No. It's a sadness you're feeling on that day that you need to feel, but it's not forever. So yeah, that's just like what came to mind. And then the scripture,
I was going to ask, what's your like verse of the year? We should be thinking about that. What's a verse this year that's been speaking to us? I know I might have one, but there's no pressure for this to be that one.
I think I've said this before. I like live in the Psalms when things are hard. So you a verse all, in Psalms.
So you're only ever in Psalms. Yeah, I got it.
But Psalm 105:5 says, that this line just came to me this morning over and over again. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he's pronounced. And then it got me thinking about and I hadn't read the whole psalm, but I started thinking about the people of Israel and how they were complaining about their circumstances in Israel. Then God dramatically brought them out, but then they're in the wilderness and they're saying, we should go back to Egypt because then at least we'd have good food. They're like forgetting how awful it was to be in bondage and slavery. And then I looked up this verse and realized this entire psalm is about what God did for the people of Israel. So I just think that that is such a, and really like the word is perspective. Like perspective can change everything. And I can choose to have the perspective of why has all of this happened to our family? And I get stuck there. I was there yesterday. I was like just trying not to lose it on my children. Or I can have the perspective of I'm going to choose to see where God was in all of this and what he's done and the beauty that can come out of intense brokenness. So yeah, I think for me, like to sum it up, that the power of looking back and actually like examining what has happened in a year, even if you don't like what's happened in the year, is really powerful, because as we've talked about a lot before, like I'm newer in the last couple of years to like acknowledging all of that and feeling all of that and letting God meet me in all of that.
I think this last year, I wonder, Phil and Diane, what your opinion would be, but I think this last year you've suffered really well.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm not trying to make you cry. I'm sorry.
You are. Yeah.
But I think that you have showed up for the kids.
Yeah.
You in the quiet places when nobody sees, you're doing the things that you need to do, not just for your family, but before God, because that's all there. And us three at this table live with you and see you more than anybody mm-hmm. else on this planet. And I know our kids would attest to the same thing. And so I just want to say, I think you've done an incredible job this year. And obviously that doesn't mean there hasn't been terribly hard moments or ugly moments that we all possess.
Our kids could tell you what those are.
No, I could. Too.
Yeah, I mean,
your list is longer than mine, but I just want to say, I think you've done a really good job.
So. Well, thank you.
I want to reflect on her, but not until she's done. Is she done?
I'm done. That's it.
Because I'm next, right?
You're next.
But before I go, I want to reflect on her, because I agree with what Brooke just said. And it immediately brought to mind Romans 5. Mm-hmm. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, mm-hmm. knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, mm-hmm. and perseverance, proven character. Mm-hmm. And proven character, and character, by the way, is what God's wants in us. He wants to mold us into the image of his son. Proven character brings about hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so I think what we're saying is we see you there. We see that tribulation has developed perseverance, and perseverance has developed character in you, and mm-hmm. proven character has given you a hope, even in the midst, you know, heaven is coming.
Oh, just the thing that you just said about hope, like literally this week, I was reading about that word, the word hope, and I don't want to cut you off. I just want to add to what you're saying, the hope piece. I just learned this week that the Hebrew word translated for wait or hope primarily is kava, which means to tie together by twisting, to entwine, or to wrap tightly. And the concept is that we don't passively wait on God or hope in God, but we entwine our hearts with his on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So the idea that hope is what you're saying, it's this entwining of our life with his. And the verse, the famous verse, Isaiah 40:31, those who kava or hope upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings with like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. It's interesting that you said that because
I heard that in 1981.
I wasn't even born yet.
And I'd never heard anybody else say it until now.
Are you
when
serious?
You just said it. But in my Bible, it was the same Bible I had in 1981. Those who wait for the Lord, but in the margin, it's hope in.
Yes.
And I wrote wait equals entwine their hearts around him.
No way. Wow.
And I got that from Dr. John G. Mitchell, who I revered, who was 89 when I sat under him, and he died in his 90s.
I pray for that mantle and that blessing on my life.
Know the whole Bible by memory, but he's the one that said with his kind of Scottish accent, those who entwine their hearts around him.
Wow.
And
that's so beautiful.
But I hadn't heard anybody else. It's in my Bible, but I'd never heard anybody else teach it or preach it till you just did.
Wow.
So thank you. And
yes.
And that's, you know, that's really, really beautiful.
There's something there.
Yeah. Because the word hope is a confident expectation of coming good, but you can only experience that if you entwine your heart around him.
Yes.
But that's not even the verse. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, are you still talking?
No, I have another verse to reflect on hers, but you go first.
Oh, two verses came to me that I love. Two sections of the Bible that just, I feel like you've lived out this year, Elizabeth. Mm. And one of them is in 1 Peter 1. And I really love this because it is pretty linear. So it kind of helps my messy mind make sense of things. Peter, who, you know, he underwent horrible trials his whole life long. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, his life since following Jesus, let's put it that way, before I think you kind of get the impression he was pretty successful in his career as a fisherman and kind of felt like he had all the answers and had it together. But then he is now saying, I'm going to start in verse 6 of chapter 1. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while.
Wow.
These trials are only to test your faith. And Peter is not saying here that God sends trials to test your faith.
Yeah.
What this is really talking about is our faith is tested when life goes wrong.
Yes.
Really is. To show that it is strong and pure, which, you know, you go into a trial, your faith probably isn't strong or pure. Mm-hmm. You come out of the trial.
Yes.
Clinging to God. And all of a sudden you find that your faith is so much stronger, mm-hmm. and so much more reliable and pure.
Yeah.
It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you, I don't know why he does this, but it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And then flip over.
Wait, read verse 8.
Verse 8.
Or I'll read it.
Go ahead and read it.
Because then it says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. Mm-hmm. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Mm-hmm. That's the faith that I see in you, Elizabeth, that God just loves.
Yeah. Okay.
You haven't even seen him face to face yet, but you believe.
And in my version, New Living, it says you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. I like the word trust. Mm-hmm. And even now you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Verse 9, your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. And I wrote in the margin, because the word salvation is alternatively translated throughout the New Testament as salvation or as healing.
Wow.
So,
wow,
your reward for trusting him will be the healing of your souls. Mm. And, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about our souls need healing.
Yes, they do.
Anybody born outside of the Garden of Eden has a pretty battered soul from so many different sources. Families are just one part of them. Our school system is another. Social media is another. I mean, we're pretty battered. We need healing of our souls. And in order to do that comes through trusting him in the really hard things like you've endured this last year.
Yeah.
Before you go to the other passage, as long as we're doing the amazing Bible teaching here, the Bible is just full of depths. In verse 6, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Yours said something different, but that it had a good word too, but that word, I just know this because I preached this once. Various, it means many colored.
Yeah.
In other words, they're all different. Some are short, some are long, some are hard, some are not as hard. And I think that God doesn't want, he's not causing them. He, in his sovereignty, he's allowing them and he's using them to build this kind of perseverance.
Yes.
But he created us for the Garden of Eden. I mean, and that's where we're going to be one day with him forever.
Yes.
But anyway, what people are listening, you know, some trials are just long. Some are just hard and some are hard, but they're short, you know.
So,
and then you're never going to, there's never going to be no trials because Jesus said in this world, you will have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world, you know, and I'm with you in it and I'm going to see you through it and you can be victorious in it.
Yes.
So, John 16:33.
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers. Elizabeth, thank you for reflecting back on your year. And, you know, I think this is already, I'm already learning so much. So I'm loving this.
This is kind of going to have to be a two-parter. Did you have another verse for her though, right?
I had two more for her, but I can share
them
afterwards.
You're the boss of the podcast.
We can do them, but let's make them fast because you're next. And by the way,
I still have stuff to say about her. So it's short. But
okay. Yeah. Let's just do it. Yeah, of course.
Feel like this is really a moment for people.
This is beautiful.
You know, especially the people who are grieving or just grieve through Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
No, or even those, and I think maybe it's just my tendency. Maybe nobody else can relate to this, but it seems like when we have those varied trials, those many colored trials, and it feels like it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, one bad thing is enough. Now I'm free. Mm-hmm. I should be free. And then we look around and we see other people whose lives seem to be
untouched just, in some ways. Yeah,
you know, or if they have difficulties, they're ones they can think it through and get a little bit of advice and overcome, and it's done. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I used to have this problem. I don't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and then and it's easy to begin to feel like, does God love me less? Why? Yeah. You know, you hear these stories of God healing people. Or you hear stories of God intervening in a miraculous way. We've got a couple of those. And you think, well, why didn't he? Why didn't he rescue me? Why didn't he heal me? And is it something about me? And especially you get a little bit of pop Christianity theology that people say the worst things.
Yep.
And then you think, oh man, I must be really a piece of work if God keeps allowing these trials into my life, you know?
Yes, I know those feelings.
Yeah. So I just, I'm losing my place in here. So just two more verses for you. Philippians, Paul again. You know, Paul suffered, you know, he's flogged like seven times, mm-hmm.
Eight times.
I think so. He's flogged. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if anybody had a reason to say, oh God, you're not doing a good job.
And he had some sort of chronic illness that we don't know what it was.
We don't know what it was.
Thorn in the flesh that he asked God to remove and God said no.
And it was an embarrassing one. He was embarrassed by it very clearly. So in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Mm. Now, I think our minds go to suffering for him.
Persecution.
Means somebody has to actually beat me up because I'm a Christian. But we live in this world that we cannot see. And there's a whole unseen world of demons and Satan himself.
Yeah.
Trying to beat us up because he sees the possibility of our lives impact on the kingdom of God. And I feel like much physical suffering and much other kinds of suffering on the part of other people comes under this title of suffering for him. Mm-hmm. It's because you are clinging to faith in Jesus and not abandoning it and going the easy way that we also end up with the privilege of suffering for him.
Yes.
And I have seen this. Let's see. Oh, I've got my fingers all over my Bible right here, but I've seen this in you. I'm looking for James.
I wish we had a video. You guys are both just like flipping through your Bibles.
And okay, this one. This is the one I think is your word looking back that I see on you, Elizabeth, this last year, which is this podcast is going in a crazy direction.
Is that what we're going to do? No, this is exactly okay, where it should go. Exactly where it should go.
But it's a good way to start a new year. We want to be people led by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
So, James chapter 4, verse 8. He, by the way, was the first martyr. Is what is believed. So it's not like he had a cushy life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So he says, draw close to God and God will draw close to you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have seen in you over the last several years of suffering, but probably more than anything else this year is that you have drawn close to God. You're at the end of your, I can figure this out. Which is more natural to you as the way you're wired, which is a beautiful way to be wired, by the way. But you have gotten to the end of that and you've drawn close to God. Mm-hmm. And it's so evident that God has drawn close to you and is living himself in his love out through you. In the midst of one thing, many varied, colorful, whatever the word is, trials.
I actually love that verse says that because all I can think of is, I mean, I'm so grateful. I feel like you guys are just pouring into me and telling me things I can't see in myself. But I also just keep thinking of, I like the way the turn this podcast is made because this is real. This is, you know, there's very few people in the world where some sort of trauma, big T, little T, has not touched their life in some ways. And I think it's so easy, and I don't even know where it comes from, that we compare our suffering with other people. And when it seems like somebody else has suffered worse, we minimize our own. And well, it's not as bad as that person, or oh, you should just be grateful it's not cancer, or you know, which does not help anybody. And so all I can think is, as you guys are talking and as I'm taking this in and listening, of, you know, this applies to anyone, whether you are, we all experience suffering in different ways and we all have different capacities for it. What's hard for one person might not be as hard for somebody else. Yep. And Brooke, I feel like you always do a really good job with this, of reminding me of this when I can fall into the trap of somebody's life is not nearly as hard as mine, or like I can just fall into that. And you always say this one line, you're always like, yeah, but they have their own heart.
Yeah, that's and really good.
So I'd say all of this applies to whoever's listening, whatever your heart is. Life, this out of the garden, this side of heaven, everybody has their own heart. And yes, it's true. Yeah. Some people's lives are harder and they experience all the different colors of suffering. And we have to wrestle with that. And yes, some people's suffering is, I don't know what word you want to use. There's more of it, or there's been thing after thing after thing. That's real. That's true. And perspective is really important and good. But I think when we can just minimize our own pain because it's not as bad as somebody else's, we're not actually doing ourselves or anybody else a service, you know? Yeah. So, man, I just think all of those scriptures need to sink deep into all of us, because whether you're going through something hard right now or you're going to in this next year, like, we all need that reminder of, I love that you read that verse in James, because the first verse of James, where we hear it quoted all the time, of count it all joy when you go through hard things. Right. But when you actually read fully what that verse is saying, it's not saying that the hard thing is joyful.
No.
Suffering is never joyful. Like, the thing happening is never joyful. Yeah. Watching my kids suffer illness is not, there's not one part that's been joyful. No. Experiencing chronic illness myself is not joyful. What's joyful is what it actually produces in you if you let God do that. The resilience, the perseverance, the faith, the trust. Like, that's the part that's joyful.
Even the capacity to be a satisfied person.
Yes.
You know, when life goes really well and it's always going really well, dissatisfaction, counterintuitive, sets in.
Because we're always looking for, how do I keep it going well? And how do I, you know? But I think what you're saying of, I have a tendency to, if something's wrong, okay, I jump into action. What's the plan? How do I fix it? I'll just do more. I'll just, you know, make it better. I'm always perfecting. And this year I've run into like major physical limitations. Yeah. So my ways of coping and bettering, I can't physically
do.
And it's like really messed with me mentally. Yeah. But I think what it's bringing me to is this state of like, oh, I actually can't.
Yeah.
And that's actually, it's as much as I hate that. And I hope I can get back to being able to physically do more. It's actually like a beautiful place to be that I couldn't get any other way.
No.
I would never arrive at that on my own. No. I would just do more.
I'm sorry. I just have more scriptures to go with, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Maybe we do. You have 2 minutes. Go, because you're next.
Maybe we do 4 of these.
No. Keep going.
Well, you know, you just mentioned James, and that sometimes we quote that and stop there. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Okay, I'll just count it all joy.
Yes, but it's the next part.
That's not the whole sentence.
No.
Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, the same thing as Romans 5 is saying.
Yeah.
Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So in other words, that's, again, it's forming us into the image of Jesus. And when you were talking about Paul being beaten, I had to look up how many times. So it is in, you know, God used him to write a huge chunk of the New Testament. And he suffered, capital S, but in 2 Corinthians 11, he's arguing kind of like facetiously, like, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. He said, I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Then he goes, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. That was the maximum lashes you could get. Yeah, so I wrote in my Bible, that's 195 lashes he received. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Yeah, those up, that's 9. 5 plus 3 plus 1, 9. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers. He goes on and on and on and on. If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness.
Yeah. Yes,
so he's saying, and then,
good.
You know, it's the same chapter, the very same chapter. I'm sorry, the next chapter where he talks about this illness. He had the thorn in the flesh and he asked God 3 times to take it away. I entreated the Lord 3 times. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. And then Paul says, because of that, I'm well content with weakness and insults and distresses and persecutions, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yes.
And so
that's
what we've seen in you. And the verse, I wasn't going to go ahead.
I'm going to make one sentence. As we are a ministry equipping parents with biblical
hope
and practical help, this podcast, everything we've said so far, you need to teach your kids. You need to take all those verses out. Because most of us did not grow up understanding this.
Yes, that's so
true. And
so
then when trials, injustices, difficulties, medical things shake our lives and alter our lives and shake us out of the projection that, you know, the way we thought we were going and life ought to go, many people turn away from Jesus because of this.
Yes.
And those might be your kids. And so you see a generation who are kind of canceling Jesus. They grew up in the church. They believed, they loved, they got baptized, they worshiped, and life goes wrong for them. And so because they don't understand that this is just part of this side of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's my story. You know, I didn't understand. So I went through a hard thing and just about walked away from it all. And that could be your child. So therefore, any verse that you've heard, make sure that these are coming into your everyday conversations. That's the idea of Deuteronomy chapter 4, of when you're driving around, when you're hearing somebody's story of suffering, when you're sitting around your living room instead of turning on the TV, and you're praying for somebody, a friend who's suffering, and then you bring out these verses that suffering is a part of everybody's life, and we want to suffer well. We want to suffer still staying trusting in Jesus. I just think if there's one message for parents to impress on their kids to this generation, is that suffering is a part of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their kids are going to suffer, and they have very little control over it. And we want to suffer clinging to Jesus, not rejecting him, because he didn't.
Yeah.
he wasn't a good Santa Claus to take away.
We addressed that on the last episode.
Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah,
so,
Deuteronomy 6:4 is what you're talking about. Yeah. This is the beginning of part of the Great Shema, and then down in verse 7, teach these things diligently to your sons and daughters. So, so when you said you needed to, I am so glad you said that, because we're a ministry equipping and helping parents to bring biblical help and practical help to their own kids. And so I'm really glad you said that. I was laughing at myself. You know how you become like who you're around?
Yeah.
And if you've been married as long as we are, some people say you even start to look like each other.
Yeah.
Or if you hang out with your dog, you start to look like your dog.
Yep. But it's true. That's a real thing.
Diane's thing, when she's total quiet, but when she gets really excited about something, she goes, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So as soon as she said, I want to remind the parents, I said, yes, yes, yes. I've got myself saying, yes, yes, yes. Oh, gosh, it's driving me crazy. Anyway, no, I'm not done yet.
Phil, this is your last verse. I'm calling you on it.
So the one thing I wanted to say to reflect on what Elizabeth said is this. And all the other stuff was other stuff that came up.
But I had to cut you off. No more verses. We got to keep talking.
As you were talking about this past year and remembering a year ago and how we did a whole podcast because we had sort of a family meltdown when you said you weren't going to come over to Portland for Comer Christmas, and we resolved the conflict and we did a podcast on it. But it just reminds you, there are people listening today, and this past year was amazing. Mm-hmm. And now it just turned bad on Christmas Day or whatever. And they're kind of maybe angry, like, why, God? Everything was going so well, and now it's not. And then, you know, looking back, you said it, that, you know, I've learned, because I tend to look back too much. And the one reason to look back is to learn from it. That's good. But to learn back and long for the old days is not good. And then Jesus told us, don't worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own. But this is a passage that God's used in my life, and I think it wraps up what you were saying. It's from Ecclesiastes, which I love this book. I read it at the end of every year, the beginning of the new year, because it's a little sarcastic and it's so real. But in chapter 7, don't be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools.
Yeah.
Do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. And one of my mentors, Bill Kies, told me when I kept getting stuck in the past, this is fairly recent, he goes, Phil, it's not healthy. It causes you to question God.
Wow.
That's really good.
So you're not doing that.
Yeah,
but God says, you know, don't say, why are the former days better than these? For it's not from wisdom that you ask about this. But
do have a tendency to do that, though, because for us, you know, and I think Jerry Sitzer talked about this, when you experience a dramatic loss, you can't go back to the way life was before.
Yeah.
And so for us, everything marks to 6.5 years ago when our daughter got sick. There was life before that happened, and then there's been life after. And life after has been marked by like intense suffering, and life before wasn't.
Yeah.
So to what you're saying, there's a really healthy looking back that happens in me.
Yeah.
And then there's an unhealthy looking back that is more looking back at all of the ideals I had for motherhood and for my family that just make me depressed of like, well, that ideal didn't happen and that didn't happen and that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
So I think both are needed.
Yeah.
So I think I'm so glad you're saying that, because I think we are all tempted to look back to, and it's always looking back to when life was easier.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and we all have a point when life was easier for most of us, unless you had a really traumatic childhood and, you know, but for a lot of us, even you, I love the way Rebecca puts it, like before we were burdened with self-awareness, you know, like
your
even
sister,
then, before,
your sister, Rebecca?
Yeah, but are the, what did she say? They haven't been given the gift or the burden of self-awareness yet.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
So anyway, let me finish this chapter. So I'm not to the verse I really want to say. So then it's this Ecclesiastes 7, consider the work of God. So God is working. Yeah. He's preparing us for eternity. This life is just preparation.
Yeah.
And the more faithful we are here, the more responsibility we're going to be given then. We need to teach that to our kids. Like, yes, life is going to be full of joys and trials, you know, And God's going to bring beauty from ashes, but it's not all going to be easy. Life is hard, but it's beautiful. And God's, it's not even about this life. It's about you pouring yourself out for others in this life while God's readying you for eternity. So consider the work of God. Who is able to straighten what he has bent? In other words, he's sovereign. And then here's the verse that I had to really, this past decade, over and over, I've read this. This is verse 14, Ecclesiastes 7. In the day of prosperity, be happy. In other words, enjoy. God wants us to enjoy his blessings and him. But in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other. And I feel like one thing I've learned is things change.
You know,
at 72 years old, things change and they keep changing.
Yep.
And so you're in a horrible season. Doesn't mean you're always going to be in a horrible season. You're in a glorious season. Doesn't mean you're always going to be in a glorious season. And so I just love this. In the day of prosperity, be happy. And we've experienced a ton of prosperity and joy. And we still are. In the day of adversity, consider and realize God's working in my life. And he knows what he's doing because he created the entire universe. And he sees life from a perspective we can't, because he has no beginning and no end. We're made within the context of time, and we see life as we see it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram @intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.